So good to see all of you. Wow, did you see this one?
She was 17, I was 40. That's it.
Thank you. We're going to talk about just exactly what Joe Biden was referring to there in his very close encounter with Eva Longoria, famous actress who's out with a new movie, and she gets a screening there at the White House. Guess all that campaigning must have somehow paid off. Plus, Fox News, where I used to work, now risking its audience base in a whole new way. There's been this allegation that's come forward, courtesy of a very popular YouTuber, podcast host over at the Daily Wire. We're going to dig into this. It's about what Fox is encouraging its employees to read and some of the other sort of employee training that they're giving them in light of Pride Month. Very, very interesting moment for so many corporations right now that are trying to go all in on all this stuff. So good to have you here. I am Trish Regan. This is the Trish Regan Show. Portions are brought to you by LegacyPMInvestments.com. If you're interested in investing in gold or silver, this is the place you need to go. LegacyPMInvestments.com. You can call them as well, 1-866-589-0560. Again, 1-866-589-0560. This is a live program. I am coming to you live today, and that's always a good thing because it gives me a chance, of course, to catch up with you all, to read your comments. I encourage you to make comments here below, and I'll be going through them momentarily. But before we do that, I do want to get to Matt Walsh's reporting here on Fox News, because it is really quite stunning stuff. And if these allegations are true, we have not yet heard from Fox News itself in response. If these allegations are true, then I do think increasingly it's going to find itself at odds with its audience in a very Bud Light style moment. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Eva and Joe, and we are going to talk about a few other things as well. But first, here to Matt Walsh's reporting. Take a look at this. This was actually put out in Newsweek. He's alleging that Fox News employees have been encouraged to donate to a particular LGBTQ organization, nonprofit organization, including the Forney Center, the LA LGBT Center, and the Trevor Project. Now, you know, these kinds of things happen in corporate America. You see this sort of stuff all the time where it's like, okay, you know, let's get behind this, let's get behind that. During Black Lives Matter, you had a lot of big Wall Street banks saying, let's get behind this, let's donate to this, encouraging its employees. I mean, some employees were like, well, wait a second. Because if you go on to the website for Black Lives Matter, certainly back in that time in 2020, what you actually found was the whole thread about how they didn't believe in the nuclear family, et cetera. So, you know, people kind of, you know, they weren't so thrilled about that. Well, you can imagine some people there working at Fox News are maybe taking just a little tiny issue with this, if in fact this is what the HR department is encouraging them to look at. So here is the article that appeared in Newsweek. I'm sharing with you the headline, which reads, here we go, all the way up to the top. Fox News faces boycott over alleged Pride support, Bud Light treatment, alleging that they're going to get the Bud Light treatment. Well, the reason they might get the Bud Light treatment is, well, because they're pulling some moves that maybe are not entirely in sync with their customer base. They don't know that the viewer is going to see what they're internally offering up, of course, to their employees. They wouldn't know that. And thus, you know, they might think that they can sort of hide this. They want to encourage you, let's love one another, et cetera. So maybe that's the thinking behind this. But I also suspect that if this is true, what Matt is reporting, and I have no reason to doubt that he's just throwing this stuff out there. I've also heard from other folks that they do believe this to be in fact true, but these are still allegations. I want to counter that. Allegations right now that they have these in training manuals, so to speak, out for the employees. If this is true, then you know what? They are not really paying good enough attention, I would suspect, to what their HR department is saying. Either that, or like, this is totally a different company. And that might entirely be the case. Again, if this is what they think people should be reading to be more sensitized to these issues, then it's a very, very different place. All right, getting into some of the thick of it. I don't even want to say these words, but I think it's important for you to know them. It's important for you to understand exactly what is being discussed, because according to Matt Walsh, again, over at Daily Wire, according to his reporting here, there are recommendations for books, for even a children's book about accepting trans and gay pride, et cetera. Maybe, okay, that's sort of fine, like whatever. But the problem is the books themselves. The books themselves, and I'm just going to read from this because I don't want to have to paraphrase this. So this is according to the Newsweek article that I'm bringing you right now. It says, Walsh commented on Twitter, quote, "We've obtained internal documents from Fox News employees. Fox Corp is celebrating Pride by encouraging employees to read about, quote, glory holes, supporting a group that gives sterilizing hormones to homeless youth, and deployed woke AI to monitor everyone." So if you go on then to Matt's Twitter thread, it's incredibly graphic, and he describes what these so-called glory holes are. I'll leave it at that, all right? Let me just say, this is like really not PG stuff, and it's not stuff that you would expect if you were celebrating a heterosexual relationship. You really shouldn't be celebrating what they're talking about, period, or making it mainstream enough to think like this is cool to read. And it's very strange that any HR center, because, you know, you think about all, you have to be so careful, right, with some of the things that you say. Like, how is it okay to be suggesting you read books like that? I just don't think it is. But what I do suspect, there's a few things going on. One, yes, the company is not what it probably once was, right? Like, maybe leadership has changed. They also are suffering from this whole ESG thing, where the reality is, if you want investors in your company, you kind of have to play by these set of rules. You get a DEI score, you get an ESG score, and that's by the likes of BlackRock and Vanguard and others, BlackRock really being at the forefront of this. And so they know that they kind of have to appease them, which means you got to get the consultant in for HR, and you got to come in, and you got to do this whole thing. But do they really know what they're telling their employees to read? This is the problem. It's the same thing in the school systems today, because it's one thing to say, okay, we want to be inclusive, we want to be thoughtful, we want to be empathetic. And then it's another thing when you see, and by the way, I have seen, and I'm just appalled by what I've seen in some of these books, not just in terms of the words themselves, but even in terms of some of the cartoon graphics that, frankly, I don't know if there's any other way to say this, but they're just flat out pornographic. So somehow the school says, yeah, you know, okay, we're going to be more embracing of everyone. And then they wind up with these books on their shelves, or Fox maybe has the good intention of saying, okay, you know, like, we want to be more accepting, and we want everybody to be aware of these issues. And then they throw that in front of them. If that's the case, I mean, that is really just another example of people not paying enough attention to what actually is going down. Frankly, it's sort of bad management, whether it's on the school system level, whether it's at Fox, whether it's at Target, whether it's at Bud Light, whether it's at Kohl's, which collectively, I mean, the three of them have lost some $30 billion in recent weeks, as this entire issue has just sort of skyrocketed to the front and center of everyone's minds. But anyway, Fox is going through, shall we say, its own transition. That's one way to put it, right? Fox is going through its own transition, and they're struggling because a lot of the people that maybe embodied some of the values that were more consistent with conservative thought aren't there anymore, right? And, you know, you're looking at one. Another one is Tucker Carlson, who's now over on Twitter. Fox is not very happy about that. In fact, they've sent him a cease and desist letter. They're threatening lawsuits. You know, you can't be on Twitter, which is really sort of weird, because I don't believe he's making any money at it. I don't believe he has a deal with Elon Musk. I think he's just going on and talking and Somehow you're not even allowed to do that. I have a whole issue with those non-competes, and I think that they probably wouldn't stand up in court. By the way, not with this administration, because this administration has already said that they are not fans of non-competes. So it'll be an interesting case to watch. But other than that, they're just sort of struggling with their identity. It's like you could call this an identity crisis. An identity crisis because they don't have a real anchor there at 8 p.m. You need that spot to be a tune-in spot. Tucker Carlson was extraordinarily successful for them. Whether you agree with what Tucker had to say or not, and there were plenty of things that I didn't agree with, there were plenty of things I absolutely agreed with. And you know what? I credit him with this, always causing you, as you watch the show, to think a little bit harder. And that's important. That's what a host should do. Anyway, he's gone, and now their ratings are like sliced in half. So something peculiar happened the other day, and I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? Was there some kind of memo that came down from on high saying, we need to gain back this audience? Oh, gosh, darn it, maybe Newsmax is going to steal them? And so they came out with this. I'm going to show it to you. If you are listening, by the way, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, do make sure that you come over and join us on the YouTube channel because I'm here live every day and I'm taking your questions and looking at your comments. And so we're going to get to those in just a moment, but do join us over here. If you are watching this, do me the favor of making sure that you subscribe to this channel right now. Subscribe and hit the bell. That's really important. That's how you know when I'm here, when we have content for you. You get videos every single day, I promise. Anyway, this is what they put up. If you're looking at the screen, you can see wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested. This was what we call in the business the chyron, or the lower third. It goes on the bottom of the screen, and you usually have a producer in the control room typing those things out. Now, you know, if a host said that and was joking around, if that was, say, an opinion host, if I say that here, you know, like maybe I joke around and say, oh my gosh, you know, they talk about Trump being a dictator. What about Biden? If I say that within the context of saying it, and I kind of laugh, you know, it's one thing. When you put it on the chyron, that's a whole different thing because it's almost like the network is publishing a headline. And so that's why it got the attention of the media, and the media went crazy. It was like top of the NewYorkTimes.com all day long that Fox News had said this because, well, you're not supposed to. But here's what I would challenge. You're not supposed to say it, and yet think of how many times they said all kinds of things. Think about this with Donald Trump. I mean, if we actually lived in the quasi-dictatorship that they claimed, the mainstream media claimed we lived in during those Trump days, then you know what? They would not have been able to say all the things that they said. They would not have been able to have all the lower thirds and the chyrons that they had. They would not have been able to get away, so to speak, with being so aggressive and so brutal against the president of the United States, which is why I find it kind of funny that they're all going nuts because a producer happened to put wannabe dictator. It was probably a joke. He probably was typing it in and, you know, they're rushing. They've probably also been told, hey, we got to get a little bit more in sync with our audience. And so this happened. It was, again, I'm sure that, you know, he wasn't deliberately trying to do it, though he may have been thinking it, right? Anyway, it became a big issue and he got in loads of trouble and he resigned. And he offered to stay another couple weeks, but they said, nope, see ya. So this is Alex. He was the producer. I know him. I actually used to work with him. I believe he was at Fox Business first. And then he was over on Tucker's show and was a very good producer. I appeared several times on the show. And Alex was often my point of contact. So he is now, after 10 years, no longer at Fox. I think he's going to be fine. I'm betting that Tucker may have a spot for him. And certainly there's lots of other media companies and personalities that would love to hire him because he's a smart guy. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it was a joke. He might have typed something in. Maybe he really thought it. The fact that it became such an issue, I think that's what's bizarre, right? Like, that's what's bizarre. It's bizarre that it became such an issue for management. It's bizarre that it became such an issue for the press. And I say it's bizarre only because we saw that over and over and over and over again, constantly. During the Trump time, did we not? But, you know, that's par for the course. And I guess that's just the way things work. I mean, keeping with that theme, our friends over at Newsbusters, newsbusters.org, I will share with you some data that they just accumulated, which shows us it's amazing. There was 291 minutes on the Trump indictment just the other day. I mean, look, it was a big deal. It was historic. You know, we all know that. Never before have we indicted a president of the United States on criminal federal charges. So yes, I get it. But what's interesting is that there were 0 seconds, like not even a second, that was devoted to this allegation against Joe Biden and his family regarding a possible bribery having gone on with Burisma. And it's not like, you know, this is just something that people are talking about. Senator Chuck Grassley is on the floor saying that there are tape recordings, allegedly 17 of them, and featuring Joe Biden and also Hunter Biden. And apparently there was some kind of, again, this is all an allegation. I want to be careful because the Democrats were not careful, by the way, with that dossier. They were not careful at all. But these are allegations suggesting that there may have been a pay-to-play type of scenario. In other words, we'll do this for you. Joe Biden will do this for you in Ukraine, provided you give him some money. This is what is being alleged. But you don't see any coverage on that. Absolutely none. You only see coverage about how awful Trump is and, you know, this indictment. And they're all excited about the indictment. I bring it up because it relates back to this lower third, to this chyron that a producer put up. This was a huge deal. You know, if CNN had put that up about Trump, if the situation was reversed, you know, it would have been no big deal. No big deal at all. So, look, Fox is struggling. It's going to continue to struggle. So many of you here have said to me, I'm done with them. I no longer want to watch them. And I think if Matt Walsh's reporting here, if this turns out to be true, it's just going to be another nail in the coffin, so to speak, for an organization that is struggling to find its way. It itself is finding itself in what I would call a transition as it tries to balance the interest of shareholders, the interests of the ESG police headed up by BlackRock, which owns nearly 5% of the company in terms of the B-class shares, and they also own nearly 5% of the A-class shares. So in other words, BlackRock has a stake in all this, and you know the politics perhaps of the founder are not entirely in sync with the rank and file that are working there. So the rank and file are saying, what is this? Like, this is the stuff that we're trying to speak up against. In the meantime, the organization is still following through with its apparently cease and desist order with Tucker Carlson. They do not want him on the air.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. The Biden administration arrested Donald Trump this afternoon. They had him arraigned.
But I give him credit because he's like, yeah, whatever. I'm back. Hey, I'm here. I'm back. Good for him. Good for him. We'll continue watching that story. Anyway, speaking of this administration, speaking of the control right of this administration, I want to get to this whole Ava and Joe situation. Everybody's saying, like, you know, look, it's really inappropriate looking. He looked like he was kind of groping her. He made kind of a crude comment about she was 17 and he was 40. I'm going to play it for you. I'd like your reaction.
We've known each other a long time. She was 17. I was 40. That's it. Well, thank you, and the entire cast and crew and everyone involved. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, all right. So, you know, it looks like he enjoyed that hug maybe just a little too much. But, you know, he's kind of a handsy guy. We've seen that before. And it's always awkward when you see the video of him and there's like a young girl and he's old. I mean, it's just, it's uncomfortable, right? Like let's call it what it is. Extremely, extraordinarily uncomfortable. In terms of Eva Longoria, well, she's an adult and Joe Biden is an adult and then some. And I'm wondering if he was even just like steadying himself. Could he not really balance that well? Maybe that was all it was about. He's just trying to, you know, get his bearings there as he looks at Ava.
We've known each other a long time. She was 17. I was 40. That's it. Well, thank you. And the entire cast and crew and everyone involved. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. All right. All right. Eva Longoria is a very big spokesperson for the Democrat Party. I've often wondered, like, is she on the payroll or something? I guess she kind of is because she got her new film screened at the White House. That's like kind of a big deal, right, for a director or an actor. Anyway, she's always out there pushing Democrat causes. I remember when I was at Bloomberg Television and I ran their political coverage, this would have been in 2012. And so I was there at the Democrat convention and the Republican convention. And that was the year, of course, Obama won again for his second term. And I got the opportunity sort of very up close to see just how cozy everybody is. Because I went to a bunch of dinners and there was Eva. Like I sat next to her at one. It was like Eva Longoria was here and Gavin Newsom was there. And I was in the middle. Anyway, look, she's a very beautiful woman. She clearly is passionate about the Democrat Party. And like I said, I wonder, just did she get a check for this? Is there an appearance fee? Or maybe it's just, okay, I help you and you help me. Therefore, when I come out with my new movie, as she is doing in this moment, it's called Flaming Hot, then we're going to have a screening at the White House. Take a look here. She's got this new movie, and it's a movie that is about somebody who is alleged to have created the Flamin' Hot Cheetos for Frito-Lay. And so she's got this great feel-good movie about, you know, like this, and but how it's unfortunate because he didn't get the proper credit. Well, it turns out that the reason perhaps he didn't get the proper credit is because, well, he didn't actually invent it. So taking a look at this story here, this is out of the LA Times, a gentleman by the name of Richard Montanez. He was like a janitor there at the company, and he was allegedly the guy who created Flamin' Hot Cheetos, except he wasn't. He didn't. Not according to the LA Times, anyway. And it's not like I'm going to some really conservative website, right, to get this information for you. It is the LA Times. Of course, it's been confirmed by multiple other publications, including BizPack Review and some others that are like, this is just crazy. This is crazy. You know, this is the whole story. I guess who's going to let the truth get in the way of a good story, right? And isn't that effectively the entire problem we have right now? When people aren't actually willing to admit the truth on things because the story is so much better without it? Yeah, there's a theme there. You know, somebody else who kind of has some issues with the truth or maybe kind of makes them up as she goes along would be this woman right here.
People should expect the real me in this, and probably the me that they've never gotten to know, certainly not in the past few years, where everything is through the lens of the media, as opposed to, hey, it's me. I'm just excited to be myself and talk and be unfiltered, and yeah, it's fun.
Meghan Markle's podcast deal with Spotify is kaput. Meghan Markle had a reported $20 million deal that she did with Spotify, per the Wall Street Journal, and that's where that's coming from. And the deal was that, you know, you'll get your money provided you have enough in terms of productivity. And by productivity, they mean they want eyeballs, they want listeners, they want downloads. And if you don't get the downloads, and if not enough people are watching or not enough people care, well, then you're not going to get the big payout. And in fact, they must have had a clause in there where they could actually go their separate ways, which is what is happening right now. They are not renewing. They are axing the Meghan Markle podcast. It's funny, right? Like, I do believe Michelle Obama's deal was not renewed either. It's funny. Like, you look at Joe Rogan and you look at some of these conservative personalities. I mean, we've been growing. Thank you, everyone who has subscribed to this channel. Thank you for that. We have been growing tremendously. It's like 20,000% or something in the last couple of months. And I so appreciate you subscribing and hitting the bell because that's really what it takes. This is all organic. And I think the problem with some of these very politically minded personalities that come in and try and do the podcast or whatever it is they're trying to do, it's not really them. It's not really from the heart. They have an agenda. And by the way, that agenda is not in sync with the American people. And she clearly, I mean, you know, I don't know what her agenda is. You know, I feel bad for him, but hey, it takes two to tango. And she deserves every right, as does he, to be able to make a living. It's just a little bizarre how they've chosen to go about it, basically slamming your family, right, over and over and over again. It's like she's trying to single-handedly take down the monarchy, and she's got her friends like Oprah Winfrey there alongside her to try and help. So Spotify gave her a huge deal, but you know what? It didn't work out. It didn't work out because people weren't interested, and people, I would bet, don't fully trust her. They see her as a phony. And look, Americans don't like phonies. That's the one thing I can guarantee you. We are not a phony bunch, and we're a good bunch. And so as much as they want to say, you know, conservatives, specifically conservatives are mean-spirited, or conservatives are not inclusive enough, I actually think that is total baloney. We're absolutely inclusive, but don't push us that far, right? Don't push us so far where you're actually going to just force-feed us this stuff in a way that really is not in sync with who we are or where we are, not to mention going after our kids. That's the latest allegation that is being leveled right now at Bud Light, at Anheuser-Busch, and it's coming straight from Ted Cruz, because Senator Cruz, who, by the way, by background is a lawyer, is saying, hey, we have rules against targeting kids with alcohol, and yet you guys chose Dylan Mulvaney as the person to push your product, who has a very young audience?
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it. Check out my Instagram story to see how you can enjoy March Madness with Bud Light and maybe win some money, too. Love ya!
Yeah, okay. So the shareholders definitely don't love ya, because the stock has just plummeted. It's just unreal how much it's lost in value. We reported, of course, for you yesterday that Bud Light is no longer in the number one spot for beers. That has been taken over by Modelo, which is owned by Constellation Brands, another American company. Their U.S. Arm of the Modelo branch is owned by Constellation. So anyway, the Texas Senator, Ted Cruz, sent out a memo. It was first obtained, actually, we can credit the Daily Mail with this, by the Daily Mail. It went over to the Beer Institute's Code Compliance Review Board. Who knew? Who knew about that? Did you know that there was a Beer Institute Code Compliance Review Board? Right? Leave it to government to have all kinds of red tape. Anyway, in this case, it's kind of good, because this thing known as the CCRB, it got word just last night that Ted Cruz is laying out a case for how this company, Anheuser-Busch, ticker symbol BUD, actually violated rules, quite clearly violated rules prohibiting marketing to minors under the legal drinking age of 21. And I think he's got a really good case. Yeah, an influencer has to think about the products that he or she is marketing. And in the case of Dylan Mulvaney, knowing that your audience is a very young audience, knowing the demographic that you see on a platform like TikTok, then you had to know, right, that you were marketing this to minors. If you go to any company's website that sells alcohol, you have to first promise, before you even see the website, that you are above the age of 21. Well, in the case of Dylan Mulvaney, he's sending it out there for mass consumption to his very young audience, including a lot of teenagers there on TikTok, with no concern that anybody is above the age of 21. So this is another problem for the company, and I predict that at some point they're going to have to make a change at the top in terms of the CEO, because I don't see them being able to navigate their way through this mess in a really coherent way. Shareholders are losing out. which means if you happen to have Anheuser-Busch in your portfolio, you might think, oh, it's a good consumer staple. I mean, heck, you know, beer sales were way up during the whole March 2020 and aftermath, right? You might think, oh, this is a good stock. Well, you just had the rug pulled out from under you as a shareholder because of this ordeal, which, by the way, goes back, as we began the show, to the ESG nonsense that's governing so much of CEO and executive behavior right now. So instead of putting the customer first, they are putting BlackRock first. And I hear them. I mean, they've got, you know, they're being threatened with BlackRock taking all the money away. Well, somebody actually needs to put BlackRock in BlackRock's place, do they not? I want to open it up to the comments here. Again, so good to see all of you here today. I'm just going on to check, and we have a ton of people tuning in. Again, if you have not, do me the favor of making sure that you subscribe to this. It is really, really important because that's how we break through. And I really believe in doing this in an organic way. We just have a little audience right now. But as I said, we've been growing and growing and growing, and I want to continue that growth here with you. And I appreciate all your positivity. I've certainly seen so much of that from all of you. So coming to your comments right now, hey, it's good to see so many familiar faces. I see Craig is back, and I see, oh yes, Danielle is back. It's really good to see John Palmer, of course. Really good to see all of you here. Starting with John, who comments on Meghan Markle that he really needs to divorce her. That would be Prince Harry. Yeah, I mean, it might be a little late for that. He's like divorced his family. Poor guy. This is a reminder that it's really important who you select in life to be your partner. And, you know, you can't pick your family, but you can pick your partner. And it's why, you know, I think it's just probably one of the most critical decisions that you make in life. And hopefully you get it right. Hopefully you don't, you know, have to go around the mulberry bush and have multiple runs at it. Hopefully you're able to select the right person and grow together and have a wonderful life. It's one of actually the biggest predictors of success and economic success and then children's success, that two-parent household, which brings us to a whole other topic, right? We were just talking with Larry Elder the other day, and he's absolutely disgusted because of some of the data that's coming out of places like Baltimore, where the kids can barely read and write. And he correlates that with a lack of family, not having a father in the house, not having two parents there to really help because, hey, you know, you need to. It's not easy. Craig, I'm glad you like the pink sweater. And again, to everybody that is listening on Apple Podcasts. And by the way, if you're on YouTube, please do me that favor to go over to Apple Podcasts when you can, or Spotify. One of you mentioned the other day that you don't have Apple Podcasts, but you did go to Spotify. I'm there as well. The show will go up in just a little bit. There's a little bit of a delay because, as I said, this is all coming to us live. This is a live stream, but do me the favor of following the show on those platforms too. A number of you I see commenting, of course, on the ESG situation. Troy talking about BlackRock getting too big to get the message. It's true. This is a massive company run by Larry Fink. It has just swelled in terms of its assets under management. In fact, it has roughly, well, actually more, I believe, than half the size of US GDP. So half the size of our entire economy is actually managed. Assets that are under management there at BlackRock. And so they have enormous sway, enormous pull. And do not underestimate that. I think it's one of the biggest reasons why you have so many executives saying, okay, what do I need to do? Fox News, as we began this program, if these allegations are true and they're pushing forward, you know, all these books that employees should read that are really, I mean, like, I'm sorry. Like, you're going to have to go read Matt Walsh's Twitter because I'm not even going to say these words. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, so this is the book. This is the literature, quote unquote literature, that they're recommending. You see, something's going on because I don't think everyday Americans are there at all. I don't think they ever will be. I mean, look, the human race is here because the majority of people, you know, believe a man is a man, a woman is a woman, and a man and a woman come together and they have a baby. And that, no, you know, you as a man can't have a baby. I don't even want to go there. But all the more reason, by the way, to subscribe. All the more reason to make sure you like the video, share the video, because this is something that unfortunately coming under pressure. I mean, throughout the entire internet space, throughout social media right now, the ability to say some of these things is increasingly difficult. It's one of the reasons why I'm actually also over on Locals, which is trishregan.locals.com, and you're welcome to follow me over there, because we know that we can really kind of have that free space, freedom of speech, that free space, that forum that we need. But look, I mean, this is a real thing. I think it's critical that Americans understand it. I think it's critical that Americans say, wait a second, you know what? I care about my retirement. I don't want to have a stock in my portfolio that's going to sink because nobody wants to shop there anymore because they're trying to push a bunch of values down my throat that I literally just am offended by, right? So they have to keep that in mind. Troy, really good to see you. Craig, good to see you back here. It's wonderful. Again, I see so many familiar faces, so many familiar names, I should say, not faces yet. You know mine, but I see all of your names, and I love having you here. So again, just a reminder, subscribe. Kaylin, thank you for the comments about the growth. Yes, we are growing here on this channel, and it's all thanks to you guys. So keep that up. I will check in with you over the weekend, because I know we all have a little bit more time over the weekend, and the news does not stop. So I will see you this weekend. Have a wonderful Friday evening, and we will catch up soon. Thanks so much, everyone.